Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about understanding the allness of one divine life as the only true reality. In this show, we will discuss how the principle is discovered when one life is known as itself, of itself, to itself, and in itself. Listen as we explain how to live above corporeal sense and correct it. Mary Baker Eddy. By understanding, only knower is known. If scripture is correct and God is all, who are we? Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in your soul and be the truth loving itself. Swami, the title of today's show is The Truth About Divine Subjective Egoism. So I think to get started, why don't we define what we mean by subjective and the word egoism?
Yeah, I think what we're talking about here is if scripture is correct and God is all, then we're looking at one divine life. And subjective means that it is within itself. If God is infinite, then there is nothing that is external to this divine omnipresence. And the ego, the one ego, is if there is but one life, then there is one self.
So what do we mean in the title when we say the truth about this divine subjective egoism?
The truth is that there is but one life, and it is absolute life. It is eternal life. That's a tough order for us to start to learn to accept that. If there is but one life, who am I? Who are you? And we really have to come out of this false sense that there are many into the truth of being is that there is but one.
So we want to understand the allness of one divine life. So how do we go about doing that? And what does it look like when we're doing it?
Well, we start out with a belief that we are separate. And I think in scripture, they would call that sons of men. And we have this personal sense of I, so that when we're using the pronoun I, we mean as a separate entity. And that's a very objective perspective because everything is external to me as a separate entity. But that's the small I. Now, what we're trying to do is put off the old man. We want to start to accept ourselves as the one divine life. And in order to do that, we really have to accept spiritual identity. We have to know ourselves in the way that we are known by the Creator. The Creator is spirit. The Creator is whole. It's complete. It's fulfilled. And this false sense of who we think we are obscures our ability to know that to be true about us.
So you use the phrase putting off the old man. So where do we get that phrase from and exactly really what does it mean? Can we break that down some more?
One of them is found in Colossians 3:9, where it says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Which is, I think, pretty much what I was trying to say prior, that we have to know ourselves in the way that we're known. The physics of spirituality is like attracts like. And in order for us to open the channels of communication with this one divine mind, we really have to be at that level of understanding.
And then the second part of my question was, how does it look like when we're doing that?
Well, I think one of the biggest significators that you're doing this correctly is that there is no fear. Fear is really a defense mechanism for the false sense of who we are, because it is vulnerable. Mortal sense has an expiration date, so it lives in chronic anxiety. And when you step out of that finite sense of mortal identity and you accept your immortality, you're no longer vulnerable. There's a calmness, there's a confidence that comes with being completely sustained by this self-existent, omnipresent, omnipotent source, that you live and move and you have your being in this divine life.
So to accept our immortality might be something that is not going to be easy for most people.
Yeah, because the biggest barrier is the false sense of who we think we are, this belief that we are a mortal creature. And it takes a little bit of education to start to unbox what it is that we're socialized with. I mean, this isn't the normal grist for the mill that we're talking about here. People will kind of look at you like you're a little crazy when you say that this isn't real, or you're reading scripture and things like, ye are dead and your life is found with Christ in God. These are things that we try and intellectually talk about this in a way that accommodates this human experience. But in truth, to understand that this human existence relies totally on belief. It's not a self-existent power. It's not an eternal power, which means that it's not supported by divine law. And as a result, it's not real. But in order for us to realize that, to actualize this, and eventually to demonstrate it as a principle, as a law, because that's really what you want to do.
Well, I'd like to go back to that phrase you just said. You said self-existent power. Now, some people might think, well, I am self-existent. I wake up every day, I put food in my body, I get sleep, I do all these things, so I am existing. Can you break down what you mean by the self-existing power?
Well, see, we exist on the human level, but we have needs. I need air, I need water, I need food, and these are all things that are external to you. And spirit is self-existent, that it is all. And so as a result, divine subjective egoism is the one life looking out at itself, as itself, of itself, to itself, and in itself. It's self-contained, that there is nothing external to it. It is subjective. Everything is within itself, that the knower and the known are one.
What I'd like to talk about now is how to live above this corporeal sense and correct it, and that was by Mary Baker Eddy. So corporeal sense we know now is this material world, or this material sense. So how do we live above it and then correct it?
Right. We come out of the belief in the many into the understanding of the one, that there is but one life. So you come out of the law of karma, a belief in two powers. You come out of a divided consciousness. into this unified state where everything is one. And there's no conflict in spirit. That spirit is whole, it's complete, it's fulfilled, it's self-existent. And it's not competing for anything. So what we really have to do is, like you say, we have to rise above the belief in duality. And then at the same time, you have to correct what is appearing in your corporeal senses. Because without that correction, you might just simply be living in denial of what's really going on. And it's not a revelation of this divine idea. Divine creation is perfect. It's complete. It's fulfilled. And if you are in the truth of your being, it must correct your thought. And what is appearing in our senses is just our thought or world thought about this truth of being, this divine creation. The correction is kind of like the litmus test. It is how you prove that you have an understanding of this one divine life.
So, Swami, how would you convince somebody that this one divine life is the only true reality? How would you point that out to somebody? How could you prove it?
Well, I think the proof is in the pudding. It is in the demonstration. The message of the Christ is to heal the sick, reform sinners, raise the dead. Spirit testifies with deeds, not words. So it's more in the demonstration. And nobody, I think, did this better than Mary Baker Eddy with her healings. Some of the healings that you read about, the testimonies about these healings, they were recorded. And the other thing is that we're not just talking about fixing a sore thumb. Some of these healings really make you stand up and take note.
When we're talking about the one divine life as the only true reality, how would you say the common person, just anybody walking down the street, how would you show them that that is what is the real reality, this divine life?
Well, I think you have to work within the limits of your own understanding, depending on where you are in your development. If you have just a limited sense of spiritual identity, then you can only show a limited amount of demonstration. But as you start to expand in your understanding, so that eventually you can start to lift others into this revelation, all that there really is this truth of being. And all that's really happening is exactly what Mary Baker Eddy says, is that we're just correcting thought. We're using truth to correct our thought, but it corrects our experience. It corrects what is appearing in our senses. So what you might start with maybe is just being an example, that just the simple fact that you appear to be different than what you might have been prior to your understanding of this, that you're really starting to let this divine omnipresence express itself through you. And that exudes a certain sense of humility. It exudes love and peace and kindness and joy.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I'd like to talk more about scripture. And we were saying in the opening, if scripture is correct and God is all, who are we? So let's break that down for everybody.
Yeah, if there is but one God, there is but one life. And I really like the way C.S. Lewis kind of explained it when he said he never thought it was possible to have a personal relationship with God. In the same way, he never thought it possible for Hamlet to know Shakespeare. There is principle and idea, and we are the divine idea of this one divine mind. We are to God what Hamlet is to Shakespeare. We are a thought in this divine mind. For us to know ourselves from that perspective is really what this revelation is all about. Yeah, so we're starting with one life, one God, one religion, one ego, one truth, one yoga. Spirit is all, and to assume spiritual identity is to understand the oneness of all. Only one life looking at itself, as itself, of itself, and to itself. And this knowing is divine subjective egoism. And it's very important for us to understand that we are the divine idea. The human is not God. And then the other thing that I think is very important to understand is what Mary Baker Eddy says in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, something to the effect that when Jesus was talking about the children of God, he said the kingdom of heaven is within. And so he's not really talking about the mortal concept, the mortal thought about the divine idea. So in order for us to experience this oneness, we really have to make this shift in awareness from material to spiritual.
And you mentioned the one ego. I want to maybe clarify the ego with the small e versus ego with a capital E. How does that translate?
Yeah, the small e is the personal sense of I, that you are still operating from duality, from a belief in two powers, that you're seeing yourself as a separate entity, and you're functioning from objective perspective. Whereas the capital E, divine subjective egoism, that's the expanded sense of it. That's the spiritual sense, which is impersonal and universal as opposed to individual and separate.
Now, the last line we have in our summary, we said, you know, join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in your soul and be the truth loving itself. Now, I know truth and love are other words that Christian Science uses for God. So I just wondering, maybe we could talk about that a little bit, truth loving itself.
Yeah, see, what we're talking about here is the difference between finite love and eternal love. We're making a distinction between the human concept of love and the divine truth of love, because human love is typically always objective, that there is always an intention. That classic human phrase, I love you, I love this, I love that. Whereas spirit is love, and it is just simply loving. And then, of course, because it is subjective, it is within itself. And so it is always contained within itself.
I know you've talked a lot in the past about the word repent, which means to think differently. How do we apply that to what we're talking about here today?
What you understand to be true with the divine idea must correct what appears to be true in matter. The thing that we're going to start to learn here is that what to do when it doesn't prove out by correcting the appearance. And so if it isn't working, then we need to repent, which means that we need to think differently. If we are a human thinking about this divine omnipresence, it doesn't matter what we understand about this one divine mind. We have to make this shift so that we are not a human thinking about the one divine mind, but we are mind knowing itself. So it's really what this one divine mind knows about you as its idea is how this starts to complete the circuit. And that's how you would have a much better chance of correcting the appearance. Because on a human level, you're only working with belief. And when you get up into the divine level, that's when you're working with the one divine omnipresence, omnipotence of this universe.
So would you say that most healing that is done in our time right now is done mentally with belief, as opposed to this divine healing that we've been talking about for months now?
Well, I think most of the healing done today is really done materially. Most of us are using drugs and surgery and things of that nature. And then, of course, there is the whole mental realm with belief. All healing is going to be revealing on some level. That's the thing that eventually you'll start to understand, that truth is the only reality. And what we're dealing with is our thought about that. You really don't correct a physical form. A diseased body does not get fixed. The only thing is revealed is that there is no physical form there. All it is an appearance. And all you're doing is correcting the thought about that. And so you can get a certain degree of result with human thought and belief, but your optimal position of performance is to use divine mind because it holds the template for perfect creation. And the other thing is that it is backed by principle. It is backed by divine law. And so you're not limited to working with the counterfeit of power, which is belief.
So no amount of saying affirmations all day long is going to do anything for us.
Well, I can't say that because you can change finite bad to finite good with changing your thoughts and emitting them with belief. But we're talking about living above corporeal sense. We're talking about liberation from the belief in two powers. That's a very different goal that we established here, especially with our Kriya Yoga.
And again, you just said live above corporeal sense. And then as we stated in the opening, now we have to correct it.
Right. You really have to prove what you think is truth, and spirit is a demonstrable principle. And that's the one thing that I really admired about Mary Baker Eddy's work, is that she puts healing on the table, whereas everybody else avoids it.
Well, and speaking of Mary Baker Eddy, I believe we have a quote here from her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Maybe now would be a good time to talk about that.
Yeah, she says on page 415, "To remove the error-producing disorder, you must calm and instruct mortal mind with immortal truth." Let's drill down with that, because to calm means to allay the fear, which is a defense mechanism for the false sense or the form, which is the false appearance. And also, the form is thought made visible. And we're instructed to correct the thought with truth. This is a very specific instruction and can or must not be confused with a better human thought emitted with belief.
When you talked about allay the fear, what does that look like? How would that sound if we were to do that?
Well, again, the best way to do it is not just to control your fear or manage your fear. You want to, again, accept spiritual identity. You want to know that you are the expression of an indestructible principle. You are eternal. You're not vulnerable. You have no needs. You're completely fulfilled. That's a very different calmness than you feel like you're not in danger, because on a spirit level, there is no danger. In spirit, there is no evil. There's no conflicting forces to absolute goodness or absolute life.
You had said earlier that we are instructed to correct thought with truth. So what does that look like when we're doing that?
Well, again, you have to start with the divine idea. You have to have a principle in order to really effectively demonstrate this law. You have to understand that it has power. What is appearing in your five senses is going to give you a lot of clues as to how you're thinking. When you're examining what is appearing in your senses, if you're finding lack, limitation, sickness, suffering, disease, these are all indications that you have a belief in something other than this one divine life. Like we had said, I mean, you can try and do this humanly, but it's going to be a tough row to hoe. But if you can make your mind an avenue of awareness for this invisible, intangible, divine mind, and you can let that correct your thought, filling your awareness with this word of God, it should outpicture as a healing or a correction. But it's very important that we get out of the way, that we just let this divine mind take over the scientific government of our bodies and let it express itself through us. That is about the extent of all you really want to do by keeping your mind an avenue of awareness for divine mind and then letting it correct whatever is seemingly appearing in your five senses that doesn't have divine qualities.
Well, I do think we have to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. And when you're on that homepage and you see the fading banner and it comes up with Blog Talk Radio Show, just click that on. That will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then if you click on the products tab and then online classes, that will direct you to all the classes that Swami has available for you. So Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kri Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and be the truth loving itself. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.